This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. And we finally know a little bit more about what the government's targeted fuel subsidy might look like. According to a Malay Mail report, the government is likely to disperse petrol subsidies via cash handouts, similar to the Bantuan Sara Hidup or the BSH program.
So the people who are eligible are households already entitled to the Bantuan Sara Hidup and they own a vehicle. Sources reportedly told the Malay Mail that the government now has an improved database, quote unquote, for BSH recipients with updated info on income and vehicle ownership. I think that this improved database is a reaction to what they were proposing before, which was going to be a nightmare to administer because they had to check each and every car and make sure that it's below 1.5 litres, and motorbikes, they got to check that as well.
125cc.
Exactly.
And that you couldn't consume, you couldn't buy more than 100 litres per month under the lower petrol prices.
There's a lot of moving parts, basically.
Yeah, it was. So it didn't seem workable. So anyway, people under the BSH, they typically earn less than 4,000 a month and have dependents. So clearly, you know, it's about cash transfer, making it much easier. However, there's always a constant debate about whether cash transfers like BSH or its predecessor BRIM1 are effective in actually solving the poverty issue. And opponents, of course, say that cash transfers create crunch economies.
Now, we spoke specifically about the petrol subsidies yesterday, so please do go check out that podcast on The Morning Brief on the BFM app or on Spotify. But on the broader subject of cash transfers, some studies have suggested that cash transfer schemes, both conditional and unconditional ones, in countries like Mexico, Brazil, Indonesia, they've resulted in improved health and education outcomes. So for more on this, we have on the line with us Azam Wan Hashim, researcher at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Thank you for joining us, Azam. First, why don't you, we're interested in your thoughts on this fuel subsidy for the B40 and that it is via a cash transfer. Is that good or bad in your view?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here this morning. The fuel subsidy is a targeted subsidy, which targeted subsidies can be a great tool of redistribution and assistance. But as opposed to a general blanket subsidy, it's notoriously hard to get right. I think you guys have talked about this all morning and all yesterday. The implementation is tricky, and it has to be designed correctly in order to reach the desired population and have the desired outcome. So some have cautioned the government against the targeted subsidy due to the lack of reliable income data, which could lead to what could be unsuccessful targeting. So, for example, this means that those who need might not get, and those who get don't need. So the distribution mechanism must also be efficient from rent-seeking behavior. It has to be apolitical in nature, and it has to be non-biased. In terms of like the efficiency, the utilization is kind of dependent on the infrastructure around the around the beneficiaries. So this subsidy will only benefit households living within reach of a station that accepts the distribution network. So those in remote rural areas may not have easy access to these vendors. And the government will have to make sure that all gas stations are equipped to accept the subsidies.
So data challenges notwithstanding, would you prefer a much more general unifying subsidy to just not target this and give direct cash handouts under all circumstances?
Are you talking about a universal basic income?
Something along those lines, but perhaps targeted at the lower income group?
Well, in my opinion, I think universal basic income, it's not something for Malaysia to prioritize right now. I think at this point, in order to improve and alleviate poverty, we really need to target sustainable and broadly distributed income growth. A large proportion of the population are working to support themselves. So in order to have the most effective and wide-reaching improvement in the standard of living for not just the B40, but for the entire population, it's crucial to increase wage levels and to improve labor conditions and to increase the gains from work so that not only low-income Malaysians, but also the M40 are benefiting as well.
Yes, and how can a government realistically roll back subsidies in any form without losing political capital?
Well, when we look at the Bantuan Sara Hidup, for example, which is a sequel from the previous Bantuan Rakyat Satu Malaysia, or BRIM, these are cash transfers that shouldn't be a long-term measure. It should be an interim measure. So in 2018, when we look at BRIM, the cost of the program for the government had more than tripled in 6 years since it was implemented. The case with all subsidies is that they're unsustainable in the long run. Any type of government income assistance program should be accompanied by an exit strategy. And the best way is to make this strategy gradual in order to prevent kind of like this adverse incentive to want to stay within the boundaries to receive assistance. In terms of cash transfers to support people on low incomes, these have to be accompanied with a strategy to raise incomes over the long term, because realistically, it's inefficient in the long term for taxpayers to keep subsidizing low pay. The government has to kind of decrease the support, and more importantly, they have to facilitate the growth of B40 incomes by addressing more longer-term solutions. For example, human capital development, productivity increases. They need to close the infrastructure gap, reduce the barriers for micro businesses to establish, so on and so forth.
Yep. Also, I think earlier we were talking about the finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, saying that the budget deficit would be hard to stick to. The targets for deficit would be hard to stick to. Is there a case for a kind of deficit spending that, channels money directly to people rather than spending on infrastructure for which we don't know how the cost would escalate? But if you put it to people, would there be an effective multiplier effect on the economy?
Well, in terms of the budgetary expenditure, I think we always have this kind of redistribution method. So, for example, the fuel subsidies, that in itself is a way to kind of reduce the budgetary expenditure from a blanket subsidizing fuel for everyone to just targeted to low-income individuals. In terms of cash transfers, as we see with BSH, these are an unconditional cash transfer. So it could definitely be improved by attaching a condition to the cash transfer. For example, we see in Brazil and Mexico, the Oportunidades in Mexico provides cash transfers to families who sent their children to school. So this targets the increase of education attainment in the poor. The Bolsa Familia in Brazil provided cash transfers in the form of food security and healthcare.
Thank you so much, Azam. And that was Azam Wan Hashim of Ideas, giving us his thoughts on cash transfers as well here as well as in other countries. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.